from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Center to left, nasty pitch. Deacon Thompson.
Yeah, snapdragon curveball after the heater. Just absolutely locks him up.
You know, with everything going on, you never know what's going to happen, whether it be starting, long relief, one inning work here and there. I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help them win.
That's Keegan Thompson from last year. Was it last May we had Keegan Thompson on Hit and Run? But, you know, I've had about enough of that old audio of Keegan Thompson. It's time to get some new stuff as we welcome the Cubs pitcher to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You also heard Boog Sciambi and Jim DeShays there referring to the curveball as a snapdragon. I don't know if that's exclusive to you, Keegan, or if that's just JD, what he likes to call nasty curveballs. But are you okay with snapdragon? You good with that?
I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't think it's exclusively for me, though. I think that's for everybody's curveball, and they throw a really good one.
So tell us about your breaking ball these days. Are you throwing only slider, or slider and curve, or how many varieties of slider you're throwing? We had Daniel Moskos on like a month ago, and there's so many varieties of sliders, like the 12 to 6 drop or the sweeper. Like, tell us about your breaking stuff right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I throw a curve and a slider. So I have the curve ball that's more of like the 12-6 straight up and down, and then I have a slider as well that kind of moves horizontally across the zone. More of the sweeper pitch.
Got you. And
I mix and match both of those in there.
Yeah, and do you try to manipulate? Have you been trying to manipulate that slider to get more sweep? Like in the past year or two, has that been a goal?
I don't think it's about manipulation. I think it's more just about the grip and trying to trusting the grip and you know, just trusting that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. If you try to start manipulating the ball more and more, then I think that's when you kind of get under it or around it and don't really get on top and finish the pitch.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. I can't imagine what it is to be a pitcher, man. It's like the mechanics are so, there's so much stuff. And then you can break it down with the Edgertronic cameras and look at every little moment of the entire thing. Does that stuff get to be too much sometimes?
I think it can if you let it. You try to take small pieces of information, little bits and pieces that are going to help you and what you're working on, and go from there. But yeah, there's so much information out there now that if you start to look at every single thing, you can definitely get swamped down and kind of overwhelmed with it.
What do you like to look at? What helps you to look at?
For me, I like to look at my spin numbers and my carry direction.
Ah, the carries.
If my fastball is carrying the way it's supposed to, or if it's not doing what it's supposed to do, then I know I'm out of my mechanics.
Wow, that's interesting. So carry, which I've heard referred to as the absence of drop. I like that, because it's not, right? It's not really rising. It just feels like it because it's not dropping.
It just looks like it. Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah, and it's just so cool. So how do you try to get more carry other than like sticky tack and like that stuff, which pitchers have used for decades and decades?
Yeah, we can't really use that anymore. So, honestly, I don't really know how you work on it. I think it could do have something to do with, like, if your fingers are further apart from the ball, if they're closer together.
Yeah.
I think if your fingers are closer together, then they're in one spot across the baseball. So instead of being spread further apart, if you have them closer together, then you'll should get more spin on the baseball and get more carry on it. And then it's also all about your hand position and wrist position at ball release. If you're more behind it, you'll get more carry. If you're on the side of it more, you'll get more sink and arm side run. So it just depends on guys' arm action and, like, their release angle and their wrist angle. It's a lot of different things going into consideration.
Man, it's just so crazy because so many pitchers had, like, their bread and butter built on that four-seamer with the elite carry. And then when the sticky goes, right? And then when the sticky goes away, you got a bunch of guys like scrambling, what am I supposed to do now? And people change up their pitch arsenals and some people can't maintain it. It's just, I wonder how many guys out there have struggled with that we don't even know about as media or as fans, you know?
I'm sure there are, but at the same time, the guys that are worrying about it, they have to remember, like, we were good before we found out about stick. Like, I think people just got comfortable and relied on it and kind of forgot how to revert back to pitching.
That makes all the sense in the world. I'm enjoying watching the game right now, Keegan Thompson, because, with some of the rules, I feel like maybe people are back to just pitching the way you're talking about, without stick.
Yeah.
And then without the shift, I feel like sometimes, and maybe it's frustrating for a pitcher, but man, Cody Bellinger's enjoying it. Eric Hosmer's enjoying it. You know, like all your hitters.
It's nice when you're not on the mound, I'll tell you that.
Right? Because, like, just a decent little low line drive or ground ball, those are hits now. I think it's fun.
I know. All those were outs last year.
Yeah.
And now turning around, you're expecting someone to be there, and nobody's there anymore.
Have you had that already? Like, where the hell, man? What? Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to anymore. That's right. I got it.
Just a couple times, but you can't. I don't know. I kind of like it. I think it produces more early contact for hitters. I think they're not really worried about trying to raise and lift the ball, hit the ball out of the park as much anymore. Just trying to get on base and steal bases and try to create more action.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of cool, and it feels more like, I don't know, just it reminds me of baseball, frankly. Like, it just, it used to be like, man, you string a couple of hits together, get a rally. That got so much harder to do. Now it's better. How were you as a hitter? How were you as a hitter when you were young and you were playing the game, Keegan?
When I was in high school, I could hit, but once I got out of high school and the competition caught up to me, it was a little bit of a struggle.
Wow. Was that a bummer? Were you like, how sad was that for you?
I enjoyed hitting as a growing up, but I also enjoyed in the big leagues too, just because as a pitcher, you're not really expected to get a hit. So when you get a hit, they think you're great. But if you get out, then they're not expecting anything. So it's like a win-win situation.
That is awesome. I love that. They let me do a couple of games of play-by-play on the radio, Keegan. I did one a couple springs ago, and it was the last day. I'm sure you were there, and then you left. It was against the Rangers. It was the last day of spring training, like middle of the game, everybody leaves. Like the whole, right? Like the last day of spring.
Oh, there was a few guys that stayed back, that had to get some work in, but most of us flew out the day before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So everybody leaves, and Ron Coomer left me too. And so all of a sudden, I'm doing solo, man. I'm doing solo for the last game of spring, and it's the bottoms of the roster, and I'm awful, right? And I realize, though,
hey, you should work in somehow, you know.
That's it. I'm getting my work in. I realized the pressure on this game is so low. You know how I know it's low? They're letting me do it. That's how I know. So, like, so that means I might as well enjoy it and try to be good at it and use it for the work that
exactly.
It is, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what you're talking about, getting the work in. Keegan Thompson with us on The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, on Hit and Run. All right, so what color is your glove going to be? We listened to you mic'd up the other day, and you were said, I mean, because, yes, you are known as the guy with the cool gloves, the baby blue or the powder blue last year. I don't know if there's an official name for that color. And what will the color be this year, sir?
I've got a few this year. I've got a black one. I've got a blue one. I've got a dark red. I've got a regular red one coming, and I've got another one, a navy one with some baby blue and pink on it.
Dude.
So I've got a few this year that haven't come in yet.
Oh, man. You're deep at gloves.
I've got a few, yeah. I'm excited.
Must be nice, man. What the hell? Did it send you whatever you want in terms of gloves?
Sometimes.
Do you have more gloves than anybody else?
No, I don't think so. No chance.
Who has the most gloves as a pitcher on your team?
I think Stroh definitely has the most gloves. He has his own company, so he has like a little collaboration with his Shugo company and SSK. So I think he has probably like 20 plus gloves, maybe.
Wow. All different colors and styles for Stroh?
All different colors and styles. Yeah, he's super creative, so he's good with that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's awesome. Are you second, you think?
Maybe. It could be pretty close.
Uh-huh.
A lot of guys like to stick to their old gloves from years past, but I like to use a new one every year, so I might be up there.
All right. That's cool. Well, all right. Well, we'll be looking for that. Any particular reason you choose a given glove on a given day?
No. It's just one that if it's broken in at the time, like, I'll use it.
Gotcha. I didn't know if you were color coordinated. You said the one has pink. Like, maybe I forget if you guys are home for Mother's Day this year or not, but the pink bats and everything, we can still use the pink glove that day, conceivably.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. We might be home for that, hopefully.
You know what, Keegan? That's why I'm here, man. I'm an idea man. And so so now we got it. Now when I see you on Mother's Day, if you happen to be using the pink, the glove with pink in it, I'll be like, man, that's all right. I know where you got that.
You told me. You know why.
Yes, sir. All right, I have two more questions. One is about velocity, because everybody was freaked out about your velocity in the spring. Hey, guess what? We looked down and Keegan Thompson had 7 innings. Where is it? I'm looking at it. I mean, you were awesome. I have the stats. Oh yeah. So it was like, what, you had 7 innings. You didn't give up anything. 7 shutout innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. Whoa.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that going by? That was loud.
Oh, that was a little tractor on the street. Sorry, but on the warning track.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. So everybody was freaked out about velocity. Does velocity come and go? I know in this case you were probably building up, and it's no big deal, and you don't necessarily need it to be effective, obviously. But does it come and go, and why does it come and go?
I think early on in spring it can come and go just because it's. I mean, it's our spring training, so we're getting back into our legs. We're getting back into our mechanics and our rhythm and our timing and everything. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer to kind of get back into how you move and move properly. And so I think that's just what it was for me this year.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That makes sense. And have you ever experienced where it comes and goes during the course of a year when sometimes pitchers talk about like dead arm or that kind of stuff? I don't know if that affects velocity.
Yeah, that happens every now and then where you go through some spells in the season every now and then. But, they'll come and go, and you kind of deal with it when it happens. There's an old saying where pitchers, like starters, will a third of the time they'll feel 100%, a third of the time they'll feel okay, and then a third of the time they'll feel like crap. But you got to go out there and get out with what you have. So when it's not there, you still have to go out there and get the job done. So it's just, like I said earlier, without the stick, you got to learn how to pitch instead of just go out there and throw.
Got you. All right, I lied. Now I have 2 more questions. I'm sorry, man. I appreciate the time.
Okay.
You said last year on this show that you wished MLB would make all the balls the same. I haven't heard anybody talk about that. What have you noticed so far this year in terms of the balls?
So far, I don't think anyone's really worried about the balls at the moment. Everyone's trying to still, get into the filling of the time clock and all that kind of stuff. So that's nobody's really worried about the ball at the moment. But so far, they've been pretty good, I think.
They've been pretty good. You haven't noticed any discrepancy from one to the other of a ball on a given day?
No, not too bad. No.
Okay, that's good. Hope they normalize that. That was ridiculous that it was a thing at all. And then the last thing, Do we have an official name for what you appear to be, at least right now, in terms of baseball strategy? Because it used to be the long reliever was like, we got an extra guy, and he's not good enough to be a starter, and he's not good enough to be a closer, or the eighth inning guy, or the seventh inning guy. So that's our long man, and we throw him out. And that's not what it is anymore. Now guys like you and Adbert, sometimes Mark Leiter Jr., thought of as bulk guys, I guess, super reliever. I don't know. Like, do we have a name for what your role is? Because it's a hugely important role on a team these days.
I would just say bullpen arm. I think our entire bullpen is kind of filled with guys like me that can go multiple innings or go one inning at a time. I mean, we just saw 2 days ago, Michael Fulmer came out and threw, had a two-inning save. I think everyone's gone out and thrown one inning or multiple innings so far this year. So I think everyone is kind of in that similar role. Right now.
I got you. So everybody's kind of ready for a couple innings, if need be. You went 3 1/3 the other day. Like, I don't think they'll ever ask Fulmer to go 3 1/3. You know,
maybe not, but I think everyone. It's nice to have multiple guys that can go more than one inning and save the bullpen here and there a couple of days and give somebody some needed rest if they need it.
Got it. All right, Keegan Thompson, this was super fun. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. You're not the most boring guy on the team. You're not.
Maybe not the most boring, but I'm one of the quietest.
All right, well, you know, if you weren't quiet in this interview, it would have been a lot more awkward if you were. We'll be looking for your glove choices, especially on Mother's Day. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind for you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Keegan. It's Keegan Thompson, Cubs reliever. I like that kid. So he doesn't think of himself as a bulk guy or a super reliever. He just does what he's told and he's ready to go long when he needs to. All right, there it is. A couple phone callers are still here with us from the first hour and we might have time to take a little more. So I see you, callers. John and Logan Square will get to you and others. 312-644-6767. I'm going to look up the leaders coming up. I'll tell you why. And then Chris Kampka, 1040, gets us Camp connected. Keep it here. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
And Oscar pays it off with a jackpot to right field. Two strike base hit left on left, and it's 7-4.
So Oscar Colas right now is hitting 300 with the tiny little sample size here in his major league life and career. 30 at-bats. He's got 9 hits. There has been only one walk. The OBP is 344. The slug is 433. So he's a little under 800 as an OPS. But, you know, his at-bats are satisfying. I find his at-bats satisfying. I find the leaderboard something wonderful to peruse on a Sunday morning in baseball, and I always, always have. When you were me as a child, because you put yourself as little Matty Spiegel as a child, wanting to know who might be leading the league in batting average and home runs and RBIs, chasing the Triple Crown stats. Not going to lie and say in the early 80s and the late 70s that I was thinking about OBP and OPS. Lord knows it wasn't. I was thinking about the Triple Crown stats. But I wanted to see, God, where are my guys? Where's Dwight Evans among all the ball players right now? Dwight Evans and Jim Rice, those were my guys as a kid. But anyway, you could only see it on Sunday mornings in the newspaper. And every player was listed, at least every player who qualified for the batting title at the time. I think that's what they did, was all qualified hitters were listed and qualified pitchers with ERA and wins and strikeouts and such. And you used to just pour over it. Hell, you know, folks older than me, and certainly my dad, had to wait for the sporting news. The sporting news, which came out, what, once a month? Sometimes once a week, and you'd get box scores in there. And RIP to the Sporting News as a publication that's printed. Sportingnews.com still there. Fun fact, I was on Sporting News Radio for a few years. Another fun fact, I wrote baseball for the Sporting News in its dying days. I was printed and published in the Sporting News with like fantasy baseball stuff in my 30s. In the Sporting News. Fun fact. Anyway, now we can look at all the leaders, of course, anytime you want. Here on a Sunday morning, let's start making it a thing, Sean, where we look at the leaderboards and we figure it out. Let me ask you, Sean Sears, you ready to play?
Oh, I'm ready to play.
Don't look. Are you looking? Don't look at the leaders. Which ball player is highest in on-base plus slugging, OPS, from either team in this town? Who's the highest?
Ooh, is it... I don't think it's Dansby Swanson. I feel like it's going to be Yasmani Grandal.
It is not Yasmani Grandal. The highest White Sox is Luis Robert at 21 in all of baseball with an OPS over 1. If you're over 1, folks, that's really, really
wow.
Good. So Luis Robert is your highest White Sox at 21. There are two Cubs ahead of him. Who's having a better start than Luis Robert?
It's got to be Ian Happ, one of them.
Ian Happ is number 13 in all of baseball with a 1.156 OPS. And who's even higher than him?
It's not Eric Hosmer, is it?
Homers matter, man.
Ooh, it's got to be Cody Bellinger then.
No.
It's Patrick Wisdom.
It's
Wisdom. Of course it is.
Ninth in all of baseball with a 1.226 OPS. Fun with a small sample size. The best hitter in all of baseball with OPS is a dude who can get streaky. We have seen it before for multiple teams. Adam Duvall of the Boston Red Sox has a 1.683 OPS. He's got four homers. Brian Reynolds of the Pirates is next. James Outman, the rookie who made the Dodgers, is third in OPS. Brian Anderson, not the broadcaster for the Brewers, but the third baseman for the Brewers, playing in the wake of Luis Urias' injury at third base every day for the most part. The former Marlin, outrageous start. And then at fifth is a guy named Mike Trout.
So, I've heard of him.
Yeah, so Trout is the no-brainer in the top five, but then Gleyber Torres is up there. Will Smith, the Dodgers catcher. Man, when you're a full-time catcher and you're top 10 in OPS, that's something. Matt Chapman, who did not have a good year last year for the Blue Jays, but is off to a great start for Toronto. Garrett Mitchell, the young, very fast center fielder for the Brewers, is top 10. And then Matt Olson. And then Nolan Gorman before Ian Happ. So anyway, fun with the leaderboard and a small sample size. Those are the hottest hitters in baseball right now. Let me take the opportunity to say that the Brewers, who I got to see up close last week when I did pregame and postgame a week ago, they're good.
You believe in them?
Oh, I'm just saying this. They have a big top three in the rotation, as we know, with Burns and Peralta and Woodruff. We'll see what happens after that. Devin Williams with the airbender is legit. Craig Counsell, who is the longest tenured National League manager in baseball.
I love Craig Counsell. I think he's a great manager.
Really good at the bullpen. You know they're gonna be solid there. Christian Yelich looked good that weekend. Jesse Winker looked good that weekend. I'm not sure what kind of starts they're off to. But I know that those three kids they have, Bryce Terang, Joey Weimer, and Garrett Mitchell are all fast and athletic and young and good. Those are like three of their top five prospects, and they're all up now as part of the big league team. So, yeah, they're better than I thought. To the phone lines we go. John in Logan Square has been patient. John, appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling Hit and Run. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Regarding the shifts, really quick. So Yan Moncada is known for hitting ground balls to the left side. Last year, he hit three out of the infield all season. So far this year, he's already hit four out of the infield on that side of the field.
Wow. Hold on. Pause there. Pause there for a second. Is that all batting right-handed against lefty pitchers, I wonder? Or do we not know? Maybe it's both.
It's batting left-handed. I'm not sure about the pitchers.
Oh, okay. Batting left-handed. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's in the Athletics. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. And that's there's going to be a lot of ways to do it through stats and data and et cetera of gauging the what is happening because of the shift restrictions. If anybody missed it in the first hour, I talked a bunch about it. Singles are back, and they are sexy. What else, John?
Yeah, and then, sure. Second of all, I think the Cubs' strategy with getting guys like Mancini and Bellinger and Hosmer is to flip them at the deadline. For prospects like they did, you know, the past couple of years. So I don't like when Cubs fans get up in arms about signing these old guys that to one-year deals that won't help the team win because they're not going to win this year. So I think they're investing in the trade market. That's my theory.
John, it's a good theory. If they're not good enough, by the time the deadline comes, that is certainly what they will pivot to and do. And frankly, it's part of why my partner Danny Parkins thinks it's ridiculous that I've been saying the floor is 80 wins because what if they're playing a little under 500 ball and they decide to sell off some pieces because they don't think this is their year? Then they might lose a bunch more games after that and it could go lower. I will say this, just in regards to the floor, if they did that, that would mean that you'd see a lot more of Christopher Morel and Matt Mervis, who I told you I think is going to rake. Who else? Nelson Velasquez would
Brennan
be a guy.
Davis.
Brennan Davis. What if Cody Bellinger's good and on a one-year deal they decide to sell on Cody Bellinger? Brennan Davis might come up. There's outside chance, a boy can dream, of Pete Crow Armstrong in September.
That's who I want. I want to at least get him a cup of coffee, man.
It's possible. It's entirely possible. We'll see what happens. But so that could be interesting, and that's what they'd pivot to. But those kind of signings, absolutely. Here's what I always think. Early days of the Theo regime. Who's the pitcher? God, they got him from the Pirates. Paul Mahalem. A sign-in flip. As you're rebuilding, grab yourself a sign-in flip. And then if you have to trade, then all of a sudden it's an asset to trade. A one-year deal. The best sign-in flip that the Cubs had, you know who it is. The best, most successful sign-in flip, maybe in the history of developing. When you look, when somebody writes the book on the five-year project of Theo and Jed turning the Cubs into a World Series championship, when somebody writes that book, and it might be me, this is one aspect of how it happens perfectly. Scott Feldman. They signed Scott Feldman. Right? It was a one-year deal. Look up Feldman. It was a one-year deal. They signed Scott Feldman to a one-year deal. And then they traded him to the Orioles. And so the Orioles got, what, six starts out of Scott Feldman? Seven starts out of Scott Feldman?
Bad, too.
Whatever it was. And in exchange, they got Pedro Strop, one of the best relievers in the history of the franchise.
Jed Hoyer pounded the table for him.
And Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta. People. For Scott Feldman and Clevinger. Not
Steve,
Mike Clevinger.
Steve Clevinger.
Steve Clevinger. The catcher, Steve Clevinger. Folks, that's the best trade in the history of the Cubs. Second best trade in the history of the Cubs. To me, it's Bobby. What was Bobby's name? Bobby was a prospect infielder who got traded to the Pirates for Aramis Ramirez and Kenny Lofton. Bobby. Sean, I'm pausing for you.
Bobby Hill.
The Pirates didn't want to pay Aramis Ramirez. How'd that one work out?
Yeah.
Really, really good. John is in Minnesota on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Hello, John.
Spiggs, it's great to have you back on Sundays. I appreciate the knowledge.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick Wisdom, I wanted to talk a little bit about him. I got a chance to go to spring training this year. Really enjoyed it for the first time. But one of the things I noticed, and I think it's carrying over into the season, it seems like with two strikes, he's got a bit of a BHAC now. Maybe not quite a Rizzo one, but I know he talked about hitting that home run yesterday and you know, said he cut his swing down, just wanted to make contact, and he barreled it up. The other thing, too, I went to, like, three games that he played in, and I think he had three hits, you know, on hard ground balls. So I think the shift is really going to help him. You know, if he hits over 250, you know, that's really going to help the Cubs offensively, especially when they get Saya back. So they could be at least be an average offensive team. And if they are, I think that 77.5 wins is definitely attainable.
John, that's great stuff. Thank you for the call. Think about all those factors you just talked about with Patrick Wisdom and how they all work together. Shorten up a little bit of a BHAC. What he's talking about is a two-strike approach and just, you know, make some contact. And if he homered yesterday on a shortened up swing, if that is indeed true, I didn't see that quote, but if that's what he said from yesterday, then good on you and thanks for bringing it to me. That knowledge, see, that's the thing. If you make good contact and you happen to barrel it up and you're strong, then hell yeah. Then hell yeah. You will homer sometimes, just kind of by accident, because you're making good contact and you're strong enough because you're Patrick Wisdom. Dude's built like a freaking Adonis. He is. So, and obviously the rules reinforce the idea of shortening up on that. So it makes all the sense in the world. Thank you for the phone call. Let's squeeze in one more. This is Dave in Des Plaines on Hit and Run on the Score. Hello, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
I'm wonderful.
Haven't seen you in person since I saw you at Fitzgerald's doing the Who.
Aha, that's fun with Tributosaurus, with my band Tributosaurus. Doing the Who at Fitzgerald's? That's been a while. That's been a while, I think.
Well, yeah, it has. It was before the pandemic, sir. Ah. A couple years before that.
Well, I'm glad you said hello then, and thanks for calling.
Well, I saw you coming down the stairs from the green room, and we made eye contact, but I don't think I said anything.
How dare you? Oh, Dave, how dare you? Say hello next time. Remind me that you're Dave in Des Plaines. All right, we'll share a fist bump and a beverage if it's after the show. All right.
Sounds like a good thing. Now I was watching the White Sox game last night, and there were a lot of calls by the umpire about the rules, and I don't think it was really explained well what was happening. Do you have a feel for that?
No, tell me again, Dave. You're watching the White Sox, and tell me about say that again. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
During the middle of the game, there were a bunch of conferences with the umpires, and there was a lot of meetings with the managers about things, and the players were upset. So I don't know what was happening.
Oh, I think it was with the White Sox and Joe Kelly, right? Was it Joe Kelly was out there pitching? And
yeah, you got it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Dave. So Joe Kelly was out there. It was before his inning even began, and he ended up getting called for a pitch clock violation before the inning began. And so, and the umpires had to explain to the managers what the hell was going on. So I think that's what that was. And Kelly then got in a jam, but survived the inning. I think he was scoreless. Let me see, which is a big deal. Yeah, Joe Kelly. So it wasn't before the inning began. It was after he relieved Clevinger in the sixth, and he got two outs, and he got a strikeout. So there was a pitch clock violation right off the bat that was an issue. As I look here in the sixth, yeah, so there was the danger of a run scoring, but a run did not score. Kelly was able to avoid it. Thanks for the call, Dave. It is Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel is who you are with. My guy, Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat, will share a nugget from each side of town for the Cubs and the Sox. Next hour, Eno Saris from The Athletic. He makes numbers fun, that guy. And then Shane Reardon makes everything fun. He's in Pittsburgh with Chris Tannehill and Herb Lawrence. They're on a White Sox-Pirates road trip, and we'll check in with Shane. Bonus Spiegel and Hit and Run today if you're out and about, or you're on your way to Cubs, or you're whatever you're doing, you're driving, perhaps you're driving back to Ohio after being at the Cubs game yesterday. Is that you? Maybe that's happening to you. We're on until 12:45 today. So, bonus Spiegel. Thanks for listening. It's Hit and Run on the Score. I There's just nobody like Chris Kamka. I don't know anybody like him. He's super fun. Chris Kamka works at NBC Sports Chicago. They call him the Sultan of Stat. I don't know who came up with that. But he works on White Sox games. He measures things like, well, everything. He saw that there were 7 pitch timer violations in last night's White Sox game. 7! That's freaking bananas. As we welcome Chris Kamka to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, we will get nuggets for both the White Sox and the Cubs from Chris, because that's what he does. He ties the room together here on Hit and Run. Number one, Chris, thrilled to continue the tradition of talking to you on Sunday mornings. Number two, Happy New Year, a belated Happy New Year with opening day in the rearview window.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Glad to be back, and Happy New Year to you too, belatedly. But we've enjoyed quite a bit of interesting baseball, brand new, a lot of this stuff. So there's a lot of new ways to dig into this thing, and it's something to learn every day.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. Tell us about the pitch timer violations and what the hell the manager's issue was with Joe Kelly last night.
Yeah,
the umpire's issue.
We were trying to figure it out too. At least I was. there was a lot of this. I mean, you'd hear like, okay, it's going down to, you know, one violation combined per game now, and then you watch yesterday's games, like, that's going to throw it off. It's just so weird because you don't know what's going on, really. There's a delay even for us, you know, working the broadcast. Like, wait, was that just a violation? Because you don't really know. I mean, it's very subtle how the umpires make that gesture. So there's a little bit of a delay for me, and I'm sure many others, to figure out what just happened.
Yeah. That makes all the sense in the world. It's a weird thing. So it's nice to know, because the caller just asked me about it. Just had a caller on asking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what happened. But good to know the guys actually working on it were confused as well. Look, being involved in a Jason Stark column for The Weird and Wild on The Athletic, one of the venerable baseball writers in the universe, and just an absolute delight. The fact that you and he worked on something together is just awesome. I love that for you.
Yeah, you think it's awesome. Imagine me, who does this stuff,
yeah,
because I was inspired from his Useless Information Department columns and now his Weird and Wild columns. Like, that's probably my biggest inspiration from any of the writers I read. So for him to include me on that, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's probably the biggest honor of my career, one of them. And I'm thrilled.
That's really, really cool, man. Reading from Jason's column, thanks to NBC Sports Chicago's ever-attentive Chris Kamka, we can report that the man who drew the first 2 walks by any White Sox hitter this year was Tim Anderson. And last April, he did not walk even once. He did walk once, made 67 trips to the plate. So that is a great sign, right there. And then you guys also worked on something with the home runs, right? When the home run leader is the first one to homer, next season.
Yeah. We wanted to figure out, you know, since Aaron Judge hit the majors' first home run this year, you know, who was the last time that the previous season's major league home run champion was the first homer of the year. And it's a little trickier sometimes when we have to go back to like 1993, as it was. And you have to kind of figure out who hit the first home run. So you got to go in there each individual game and see who homered first, and then check the time of the game. Okay, when this started here, what time of the game is this? I mean, that's what it is. It's a very strong, educated guess. And we decided Juan Gonzalez was the last to do it. I mean, he's a guy who you don't really hear about too much anymore, but geez, this guy was like a future Hall of Famer back in the early 90s. He was. It was home runs, RBIs galore.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, injuries, man.
Yes. Everything about his numbers for that 5-6 year stretch you're talking about, when he won 2 MVPs in the span of 3 seasons, and also, yeah, outrageous.
I think he was the last guy, if I'm not mistaken, to get 100 RBIs before the All-Star break. And wow. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's bananas. Part of Texas, the Texas baseball atmosphere. Rudy Jaramillo was the hitting coach who supposedly unlocked Juan Gonzalez, and of course, as was the era, there may have been other things going on as well along the way. Chris Kampka, one thing we'll ask you for is something for the Cubs and something for the Sox every week when we talk, and I'm looking forward to that. Take us in whatever direction you would like, sir.
And I'm sure a lot of people have brought up the fact that Marcus Stroman has a great start to the season. He has 6 innings, no runs, and 3 or fewer hits in each of his first 2 appearances of the season, and that's something no Cubs pitcher has done in his first 2 appearances, not necessarily first 2 starts, first 2 appearances of any season since at least 1901. And if you wanted to see if Marcus Stroman can catch lightning in a bottle, to do it 3 times in a row, the last major leaguer to do that was Ray Caldwell, who is known for getting lightning caught on his head during a start. Ray Caldwell of the Yankees did it in 1914.
Wow.
3 in a row with 6 or more innings, no runs, and 3 or fewer hits. Now, later in 1919, in his Cleveland debut, he was famously known for throwing 8 2/3 innings and getting struck by lightning, recovering and finishing the game.
Kampka, you educated me. I never heard about Ray Caldwell, and I Googled as you're talking. I never heard that story. He went 8 2/3, got struck by lightning, and then finished the game. That's amazing.
I mean, it's one of those things you'll never hear this again.
Oh.
And yeah, it was a little bit of a stretch for me to throw the lightning in the bottle, but hey.
I'm glad you did it.
Stretch.
So let's hope for that not to be happening by Marcus Stroman. Let's have Marcus Stroman to not be struck by lightning. I think we can all agree on wishing that it to not happen to him.
By the way, did you know that Marcus Stroman is at 5'7", the shortest opening day Cubs starting pitcher since Clark Griffith in 1900, who might have done it again in 1901 if he didn't jump to the American League and become the White Sox manager and ace.
Wow. I did not know that. That is awesome. Marcus Stroman, among a few pitchers, let's see, to have a 0 ERA and have more than 10 innings pitched. There's only a few on the year so far. Jeffrey Springs, Kyle Freeland, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Stroman, and Luis Castillo, among others, have a 0 ERA so far in multiple starts and more than 10 innings pitched. All right, excellent. What you got for the White Sox, sir?
Well, the White Sox have been reaping the benefit of the pitch timer less than any other team because they lead the majors with 2 hours and 51 minutes per game. Still good, but the longest.
Wow.
And why, you ask? Well, because White Sox games average 21.67 hits per game combined, both teams. The White Sox lead the majors with 99 hits, and they're tied for the major league lead with 96 hits allowed. Wow. So there's a lot of hits. And I mean, the pitching, I don't really, you know, it's a blip. These guys are talented. I know that. But it's the hitting that I'm really excited about. They've had 10 or more hits in 8 of their first 9 games. They've never done that before. And they're 12 for 12 on the base paths, which is the best start without a caught stealing in franchise history since at least 1920, when we have caught stealing data available.
Wow, that's really fun. All right, so did you say 10 hits in 8 of their first 9 games, and that has never happened before?
Not for the White Sox.
That's amazing.
They've had 7 a few times. Yeah, it's like almost, you know, every time, 10 hits. They're getting contact. And this contact-oriented offense is like perfect, given that the shift restrictions are going on. And this is what you want. I mean, the power's not quite there yet. Although they have 10 homers in 9 games, you know, for me, I'm looking at least 1 homer per game for a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the hits, I mean, it's contact. It's everybody. It's Anderson. It's Robert. It's kind of fun. Even down the Colas yesterday, who had a really nice plate appearance, got a hit off the lefty. And Grifol could have made the switch and did a pinch hit, but he let Colas go for it. and he got it.
Yeah, no,
so that was great to see.
Agreed. Twice he had two strike RBIs, and that one where he let him hit against the lefty and he got it will certainly instill confidence and maybe make that a more regular thing. It's good. He doesn't have to be thought of as a specialist or a platoon half the way that we know, say, Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger are. I loved Gavin Sheets this week saying, between the two of us, we're a pretty good ball player. Thinking about themselves as a platoon reminds me of John Lowenstein and Gary Renicky of the Orioles. In my youth, Earl Weaver, I think, was one of the first guys to really lean into the platoon, and it was Lowenstein and Renicky in left field.
Yeah, when you hear a guy like buy into that idea,
yeah,
I mean that's really what you want to hear.
Yeah, no, in terms of Sheets, you mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. If that's what I'm going to be, let me just make the most of it, you know, but at the same time, I don't want Colas to think of himself that way as a growing player, you know?
No, I think, you know, we understand that the expectation for Colas,
yep.
One of the higher rated prospects in the organization, you know, of course he's going to be expected, and I'm glad they're giving him a chance to do it. Don't limit him to just guy who can hit just against the right-handers. I like that.
Yep, me too. Yeah. This is phenomenal stuff, Chris Kampka. I look forward to it every week that you can do it. I'm a yes, and let's do it as often as we can here on Hit and Run.
I'm game. Let's go. Let's have some more nuggets today's games. Let's go. Let's keep going. Keep the offense going. Let's get everything in order. Cubs pitching looks great so far.
Yeah, it does. Cubs starting pitchers have a... They have the best ERA as a starting rotation. I think they do. I'll do the sort. I saw that stat. I think I saw that stat earlier. I think I'll tell you.
I would guess Minnesota, but the Cubs have got to be right up there.
Yeah. Let's see. Chicago Cubs starting pitchers have the lowest team ERA in the National League, 3.13. So that's from Michael Cerami over at Bleacher Nation. I'm sure you're right that it's the Twins, right? It's the Twins of the American League with Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray and others. Yeah,
yeah. But look how the Cubs started. They had 3 6-inning scoreless starts in their first six games of the year.
Yeah,
because Steele had one also, and two by Stroman. I mean, I don't think the Cubs had ever done that before.
That's great. That's great stuff. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Kampka, sir. Enjoy your young man, Mateo, and enjoy your season, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you. Will do.
All right, buddy. That's Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. Matt Spiegel is who you are listening to. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. I'm here until 12:45 today. Next hour, Eno Saris from The Athletic and Shane Reardon from our staff here at The Score. And before that, I want to talk about that White Sox bullpen usage thing I mentioned. And then I did a project that I was really, really pleased to do. My 30 favorite ball players from my last 30 seasons in Chicago. And I kind of was surprised at who ended up being number one. We'll do that next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's just nobody like Chris Kamka. I don't know anybody like him. He's super fun. Chris Kamka works at NBC Sports Chicago. They call him the Sultan of Stat. I don't know who came up with that. But he works on White Sox games. He measures things like, well, everything. He saw that there were 7 pitch timer violations in last night's White Sox game. 7! That's freaking bananas. As we welcome Chris Kamka to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, we will get nuggets for both the White Sox and the Cubs from Chris, because that's what he does. He ties the room together here on Hit and Run. Number one, Chris, thrilled to continue the tradition of talking to you on Sunday mornings. Number two, Happy New Year, a belated Happy New Year with opening day in the rearview window.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Glad to be back, and Happy New Year to you too, belatedly. But we've enjoyed quite a bit of interesting baseball, brand new, a lot of this stuff. So there's a lot of new ways to dig into this thing, and it's something to learn every day.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. Tell us about the pitch timer violations and what the hell the manager's issue was with Joe Kelly last night.
Yeah,
the umpire's issue.
We were trying to figure it out too. At least I was. there was a lot of this. I mean, you'd hear like, okay, it's going down. It's down to, you know, one violation combined per game now, and then you watch yesterday's games. Like, that's going to throw it off. There's a lot. It's just so weird because you don't know what's going on really. There's a delay even for us, you know, working the broadcast. Like, wait, was that just a violation? Because you don't really know. I mean, it's very subtle how the umpires make that gesture. So there's a little bit of a delay for me, and I'm sure many others, to figure out what just happened.
Yeah. That makes all the sense in the world. It's a weird thing. So it's nice to know, because the caller just asked me about it. Just had a caller on asking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what happened. But good to know the guy's actually working on it. We're confused as well. Look, being involved in a Jason Stark column for The Weird and Wild on The Athletic, one of the venerable baseball writers in the universe, and just an absolute delight. The fact that you and he worked on something together is just awesome. I love that for you.
Yeah, you think it's awesome. Imagine me, who does this stuff,
yeah,
because I was inspired from his Useless Information Department columns and now his Weird and Wild columns. Like, that's probably my biggest inspiration for many of the writers I read. So for him to include me on that, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's probably the biggest honor of my career, one of them. And I'm thrilled.
That's really, really cool, man. Reading from Jason's column, thanks to NBC Sports Chicago's ever-attentive Chris Kamka, we can report that the man who drew the first 2 walks by any White Sox hitter this year was Tim Anderson. And last April, he did not walk even once. He did walk once, made 67 trips to the plate. So that is a great sign, right there. And then you guys also worked on something with the home runs, right? When the home run leader is the first one to homer, next season.
Yeah. We wanted to figure out, you know, since Aaron Judge hit the majors first home run this year, you know, who was the last time that the previous season's major league home run champion was the first homer of the year. And it's a little trickier sometimes when we have to go back to like 1993 as it was. And you have to kind of figure out who hit the first home run. So you got to go in there each individual game and see who homered first, and then check the time of the game. Okay, when this started here, what time in the game is this? I mean, that's what it is. It's a very strong, educated guess. And we decided it's Juan Gonzalez was the last to do it. I mean, he's a guy who you don't really hear about too much anymore, but geez, this guy was like a future Hall of Famer back in the early 90s. He was. It was home runs, RBIs galore.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, injuries, man.
Yes. Everything about his numbers for that 5-6 year stretch you're talking about, when he won 2 MVPs in the span of 3 seasons, and also, yeah, well, you know, outrageous.
I think he was the last guy, if I'm not mistaken, to get 100 RBIs before the All-Star break. And wow. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's bananas. Part of Texas, the Texas baseball atmosphere. Rudy Jaramillo was the hitting coach who supposedly unlocked Juan Gonzalez, and of course, as was the era, there may have been other things going on as well along the way. Chris Kampka, one thing we'll ask you for is something for the Cubs and something for the Sox every week when we talk, and I'm looking forward to that. Take us in whatever direction you would like, sir.
And I'm sure a lot of people have brought up the fact that Marcus Stroman has a great start to the season. He has 6 innings, no runs, and 3 or fewer hits in each of his first 2 appearances of the season, and that's something no Cubs pitcher has done in his first 2 appearances, not necessarily first 2 starts, first 2 appearances of any season since at least 1901. And if you wanted to see if Marcus Stroman can catch lightning in a bottle to do it 3 times in a row, the last major leaguer to do that was Ray Caldwell, who is known for getting lightning caught on his head during a start. Ray Caldwell, the Yankees, did it in 1914.
Wow.
3 in a row with 6 or more innings, no runs, and 3 or fewer hits. Now, later in 1919, in his Cleveland debut, he was famously known for throwing 8 2/3 innings and getting struck by lightning, recovering and finishing the game.
Kampka, you educated me. I never heard about Ray Caldwell, and I Googled as you're talking. I never heard that story. He went 8 2/3, got struck by lightning, and then finished the game. That's amazing.
I mean, it's one of those things you'll never hear this again.
Oh.
And yeah, it was a little bit of a stretch for me to throw the lightning in the bottle, but hey.
I'm glad you did it.
Stretch.
So let's hope for that not to be happening by Marcus Stroman. Let's have Marcus Stroman to not be struck by lightning. I think we can all agree on wishing that it to not happen to him.
By the way, did you know that Marcus Stroman is at 5'7", the shortest opening day Cubs starting pitcher since Clark Griffith in 1900, who might have done it again in 1901 if he didn't jump to the American League and become the White Sox manager and ace.
Wow. I did not know that. That is awesome. Marcus Stroman among a few pitchers, let's see, to have a 0 ERA and have more than 10 innings pitched. There's only a few on the year so far. Jeffrey Springs, Kyle Freeland, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Stroman, and Luis Castillo, among others, have a 0 ERA so far in multiple starts and more than 10 innings pitched. All right, excellent. What you got for the White Sox, sir?
Well, the White Sox have been reaping the benefit of the pitch timer less than any other team because they lead the majors with 2 hours and 51 minutes per game. Still good, but the longest.
Wow.
And why, you ask? Well, because White Sox games average 21.67 hits per game combined both teams. The White Sox lead the majors with 99 hits, and they're tied for the major league lead with 96 hits allowed. So there's a lot of hits. And I mean, the pitching, I don't really, you know, it's a blip. These guys are talented. I know that. But it's the hitting that I'm really excited about. They've had 10 or more hits in 8 of their first 9 games. They've never done that before. And they're 12 for 12 on the base paths, which is the best start without a caught stealing in franchise history since at least 1920, when we have caught stealing data available.
Wow, that's really fun. All right, so did you say 10 hits in 8 of their first 9 games, and that has never happened before?
Not for the White Sox.
That's amazing.
They've had 7 a few times. Yeah, it's like almost, you know, every time, 10 hits. They're getting contact. And this contact-oriented offense is like perfect, given that the shift restrictions are going on. And this is what you want. I mean, the power's not quite there yet. Although they have 10 homers in 9 games, you know, for me, I'm looking at least 1 homer per game for a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the hits, I mean, it's contact. It's everybody. It's Anderson. It's Robert. It's kind of fun. Even down to Colas yesterday, who had a really nice plate appearance, got a hit off the lefty. And Grifol could have made the switch and did a pinch hit, but he let Colas go for it. and he got it.
Yeah,
so that's great to see.
Agreed. Twice he had two strike RBIs, and that one where he let him hit against the lefty and he got it will certainly instill confidence and maybe make that a more regular thing. It's good. He doesn't have to be thought of as a specialist or a platoon half the way that we know, say, Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger are. I loved Gavin Sheets this week saying, between the two of us, we're a pretty good ball player. Thinking about themselves as a platoon reminds me of John Lowenstein and Gary Renicky of the Orioles. In my youth, Earl Weaver, I think, was one of the first guys to really lean into the platoon, and it was Lowenstein and Renicky in left field.
Yeah, when you hear a guy like buy into that idea,
yeah,
I mean that's really what you want to hear.
Yeah, no, in terms of Sheets, you mean.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. If that's what I'm going to be, let me just make the most of it, you know, but at the same time, I don't want Colas to think of himself that way as a growing player, you know?
No, I think, you know, we understand that the expectation for Colas,
yep.
One of the higher rated prospects in the organization, you know, of course he's going to be expected, and I'm glad they're giving him a chance to do it. Don't limit him to just guy who can hit just against the right-handers. I like that.
Yep, me too. Yeah. This is phenomenal stuff, Chris Kampka. I look forward to it every week that you can do it. I'm a yes, and let's do it as often as we can here on Hit and Run.
I'm game. Let's go. Let's have some more nuggets today's games. Let's go. Let's keep going. Keep the offense going. Let's get everything in order. Cubs pitching looks great so far.
Yeah, it does. Cubs starting pitchers have a... They have the best ERA as a starting rotation. I think they do. I'll do the sort. I saw that stat. I think I saw that stat earlier. I think I'll tell you.
I would guess Minnesota, but the Cubs have got to be right up there.
Yeah. Let's see. Chicago Cubs starting pitchers have the lowest team ERA in the National League, 3.13. So that's from Michael Cirami over at Bleacher Nation. I'm sure you're right that it's the Twins, right? It's the Twins of the American League with Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray and others. Yeah.
Yeah, but look how the Cubs started. They had 3 6-inning scoreless starts in their first 6 games of the year.
Yeah.
Because Steele had one also, and 2 by Stroman. I mean, I don't think the Cubs had ever done that before.
That's great. That's great stuff. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Kampka, sir. Enjoy your young man, Mateo, and enjoy your season, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you. Will do.
All right, buddy. That's Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. Matt Spiegel is who you are listening to. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. I'm here until 12:45 today. Next hour, Eno Saris from The Athletic and Shane Reardon from our staff here at The Score. And before that, I want to talk about that White Sox bullpen usage thing I mentioned. And then I did a project that I was really, really pleased to do. My 30 favorite ball players from my last 30 seasons in Chicago. And I kind of was surprised at who ended up being number one. We'll do that next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.